Okay, let's turn tonight to Acts chapter 5 and Ephesians chapter 5. Start things off. You're going to need to keep your Bibles handy because we're going to be going back and forth some. Acts 5 and Ephesians 5. Acts 5 first. Acts chapter 5, verse 1. And this whole context, of course, is post-Pentecost. And the context is all the disciples are together. And as you can see back from verse earlier and late in chapter 4, notice in verse 37, having land, they sold it and brought the money, laid it at the apostles' feet. So the context is disciples. In 5:1 it says, but a certain man named Ananias with Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession, kept back part of the price, his wife also being privy to it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. And Peter said, Ananias, why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? While it remained, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing to thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. And in the end, Ananias and Sapphira both separately, but still both kicked the bucket right there. The Lord slew them. And just notice that Peter said, why has Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost? Notice Satan filled their heart. Back in Ephesians chapter 5. And again, there's a context here. Maybe important. We'll come back to that context later. But it states, again, in a Christian context, verse 18, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Let's go ahead and bow our heads there and pray. Now, Father, we come here this evening. Pray that you might give us a clear instruction, Father, and just some insight into some things. We are in a spiritual battle. We don't see our enemy, Father. And so maybe in part because we so much walk by faith and not by sight, it's easy maybe to let some things drop. But I pray you'd help us to take care and heed here. For a little while, may you be a help to somebody, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, now, in both those cases, you have somebody that said, Peter said, why has Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost? Now, again, this is somebody that's saved who has his heart filled by Satan to lie to the Holy Ghost. In Ephesians 5, you know, we're to be not to be drunk with wine or in his excess, but to be filled with the Spirit. So, both sets of people are believers. If you wanted to argue that Ananias and Sapphira were not believers, there's no reason to believe they weren't. The context was disciples. And so I guess it's possible then for somebody's heart to be filled by Satan that's saved. And at the same time, the other passage, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. So I'm preaching tonight on being filled. And I think some people, depending on their, you know, what kind of low-key cult they're in, would have Ananias and Sapphira helplessly overwhelmed and overcome by Satan. He's overpowered them, and he is a powerful force. He's wiser than Daniel. All those things are true. But they would take the passage in 2 Timothy and say that they were taken captive by him at his will. They had no power to overcome him. They had no power to resist him, etc., etc. And so that's what happened. Then on the other hand, I suppose some would say, well, in Ephesians 5, you know, being filled with the Spirit involves having hands laid on you by the elders, being anointed with oil, being slain in the Spirit, being spoken over in tongues, and then you yourself are baptized in the Holy Spirit, Holy Ghost, and you yourself speak in tongues, and you go off filled with the Spirit. That's how it kind of works in some places. I was thinking about that because I was reading, let me take you back to Proverbs chapter 14. Like I said, you're going to have to be turning tonight for a while. So what brought all this up was obviously just a few days ago was Proverbs 14. Was November the 14th. And so I was reading Proverbs 14. This passage always stops me cold, and it never usually fails that I stop and think about this because it seems, because it just sheds a lot of light. But in chapter 14, verse 14, it says this: the backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways. Now here you have Ananias and Sapphira whose heart Satan filled. And then you have the Ephesians who are admonished to be filled with the Spirit. And both sets are Christians. And here I read, I know this is Old Testament, the backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways, and a good man shall be satisfied from himself. That means that a man that's doing right, even if he is alone, that he can be satisfied from himself. After all, the Holy Spirit dwells in him too. And he has his own Bible, and he's grateful himself. And so what he needs, he still brings forth from himself. But importantly, the first part of it, the backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways. So thinking about Ananias and Sapphira, and then thinking about the Ephesians, and we're called not to quench the Spirit. We're called to be filled with the Spirit. That's true enough. Okay, there has to be a place where genuinely spiritual things, things that only God can do, mesh with and intersect where things are practically carried out in our lives. It's that old, rubber, where the rubber meets the road thing, right? Where things rub together. For instance, I think you'll have to say, knowing how you got saved, that it is a profound thing that happened, the new birth. Okay, but how were you born again? You weren't overcome by the Spirit of God. I mean, you were influenced by the Spirit of God. You were convicted. But in the end, you chose Jesus Christ as your Savior and believed. And so that practical thing where you made that decision, acquiesced, believed on Christ, bam, then the Lord does those 30-something things, right? And so that's what I'm saying, is that there has to be a place in these things where the practical meets the truly spiritual, and where power takes place. I think I can make a case for the same thing happening probably for somebody here. I imagine your life has changed since you got saved. Now, I don't know if you struggle with smoking or liquor or something else or whatever, but most of us brought a lot of fleas and ticks to the Christian life with us. And so there are some things we had to get rid of, right? And it's not like the power of God overcame us and instantly it was gone. Whether it's character flaws or whether, it was liquor, or whether, it was cigarettes. I bet if you had cigarettes, I bet you didn't just put... Not many people just put them down and call it quits. Usually it's a long, drawn-out battle, right? But in the end, you kept coming... You kept being convicted. You kept reading the Bible. You kept bringing the desire to quit, to the Lord. And finally, you overcame them, and the Lord gave you victory. And you give the Lord credit for the victory. But it's not like God just overcame you and took all the desire away. At least for most people. Now, my point with this, folks, is that God doesn't lose battles. You lose the battle on practical grounds. Okay? And people go to hell by not receiving Christ because they don't want to. And that's why the Lord sends them to hell, because it is their responsibility. Now, I say all this to say I come to this Proverbs 14:14 here. The backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways. Okay, there's a guy, and I think where this starts, you get up on a Monday morning or a Tuesday morning or a Wednesday morning or whatever morning, and you don't wake up filled with the Holy Ghost, and you probably don't wake up just filled with the devil. You probably wake up and get up and stumble around and go to the bathroom and stumble into the kitchen for some coffee or whatever. And what you have to be careful of is that what can take over is you can be filled with your own ways. You can be filled with your own desires. And from there, you kind of set the course for what kind of a day spiritually you're going to have. And if you don't get in prayer and if you don't get in the book and you don't set your compass to what's right, then you might end up at the end of the day filled with not what you want to be. If you set your compass right, you might wind up filled with the Holy Spirit and have accomplished something today. You get what I'm saying? And so I was thinking about that because this all started with Proverbs 14. I want to take you to a couple places real quick. Just related to Proverbs 14, and then we'll get started. Well, no, we're already started. Don't be discouraged. Proverbs. Proverbs 18. I'm not as bad as I sound. 18:1 is a place that always stops me, too. And just for a moment, link a man filled with his own ways with desire. And I'll link them together in a second. 18:1, through desire, a man having separated himself seeketh and intermeddleth with all wisdom. Well, you're not called to intermeddle with all wisdom. You're called to intermeddle with the wisdom of God. And so you have a guy here that's getting himself in trouble. Okay, now, go back to Proverbs chapter 1. Proverbs 1. I'm talking tonight about being filled. And one set of Christians winds up filled with Satan having filled their hearts to lie. The other group winds up at least being admonished to be filled with the Spirit. The guy from Proverbs 14 starts out being filled with his own ways. Proverbs, why am I not there? Proverbs chapter 1. Proverbs 1, let's start with reading with verse 23. Okay, now here is wisdom again speaking. Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. Can you link there my spirit with my words? Is that okay with you? That actually the Spirit of God is linked to the words of God? In verse 24, because I have called and you refused, I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded. But you have set at naught all my counsel and would none of my reproof. I will laugh at your calamity, I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation, your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, then when distress and anguish come upon you, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me, for that they hated knowledge, did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would none of my counsel, they despised all my reproof. And here it comes. Wherefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way and be filled, see the filled with their own devices, okay? Filled with their own devices. See, that's where it starts on a practical basis. The devil doesn't just come jump in you and just wring your mind out and control your heart and mind all day long. You yield him members. The Holy Spirit doesn't just come in you and just jump in you and you're full of the Spirit all day long because of the power of God. No, there's a place where you have a stewardship over your heart and mind. And you have a stewardship over your own desires and what you're filled with. When you're filled with your own desires, with your own ways, the backslider in heart is filled with his own ways, right? And that leads you naturally down a path, and it's not the Holy Spirit's path. And that's what I'm saying, is that there has to be a practical avenue by way of somebody being filled with the Spirit, and a practical avenue, by the way, with somebody being filled with the devil. And it really starts in practicality with each one of us and what we do with our hearts and minds. You see what I'm saying? Let me take you to Psalms 78 for a second. Psalm 78. Psalm 78, go on down to verse 29, where it's talking about the children of Israel in the wilderness, and verse 25, man did eat angels' food. Talking about manna there, verse 29. So they did eat and were well filled, for he gave them their own desire. Now he's talking there about the meat, the quail that fell round about. And remember, they were complaining because they had no meat. And so he said, I'm going to give you meat till it comes out your nose. And so he gave them their own desire, and they were not benefited by it particularly, right? But it was their own desire. They weren't satisfied with manna. They weren't satisfied with miracle water. They had to have meat too. Now, there's a connection with Psalms 106. This backslider in heart is filled with his own ways. And because he's filled with his own ways, he probably leans towards being full of the devil by the end of the day or by the end of the week. And if a man is filled with the Bible and filled with preaching and he's prayed, he has a much better chance of being filled with the Spirit at the end of the day, the end of the week. Does that make sense? Okay, so Psalms 106 and down in verse 15. He gave them their request, and you know this has to do with their lust for the quail and stuff. He gave them their request and sent leanness into their soul. So they really wanted it. They really desired it. And so he gave it to them. And they begged and begged and begged, and so he finally gave it to them. But what they got was leanness. So there comes a place where you need to quit asking for some things that God keeps saying no on. Because maybe you get it, and then maybe it's, ugh, right? Maybe you're worse off for it. Now, so somebody is reading their Bible, and they're hearing preaching, and they're being admonished and counseled and being reproved. They're convicted, and they make a choice of what to be filled with. They continue serving the Lord and with their heart and mind in the Bible and things of God, or else they say, I'm tired of this. I set it aside. I've read my 10 pages for the day, and so I'm done, and now I'm going to go surf YouTube. Now tell me which of the two winds up being more likely to be influenced by the devil. And tell me which of the two winds up being more likely to be influenced by the Holy Spirit. And this whole thing has to do with Proverbs 14:14, the backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways. And I'm simply trying to impress that we set the course for ourselves. The Holy Spirit does not come and overwhelm you and fill you. And frankly, I don't know that the devil comes and overwhelms you and forces you to think like him. But you really set the course for, we set the course for ourselves by what we're thinking and what we desire, right? They said the man is filled with his own devices. He has stuff that he wants, and so he's really the operational standard. What he wants is the operational standard. And where God fits in, he's ambivalent. And so the devil can use that. So I've got some verses to run here. This is all based around being filled. And I'll start with a negative. And just let's run some verses here, and maybe this will be a help to you. Look, if you will, in Hosea 13. Hosea 13. And again, the Proverbs 14 verse is what got me. The backslider in heart shall be filled, just filled, with his own ways. So if all you can think about is you, you're a backslider. That's what it says. And what you get to ask yourself is this: you have at juxtapositions, Ephesians 5, be filled with the Spirit, Acts 5, two people that Satan's filled their heart to lie to the Holy Ghost. And it starts, I mean, think about it this way. I should bring it up later, I guess, but I'll bring it up now. So Ananias and Sapphira are filled with, Satan has filled their heart to lie to the Holy Ghost. But what were they filled with? They were filled with greed over that money, that land, right? They wanted that money. And two, they wanted to put on a show. They wanted to make sure that everybody thought they were spiritual. And so they thought, you know, this is what the land sold for, and so here's the money that we sold the land for. No, you took a cut and put some of it away. And the issue is that you could do that, no problem, but you lied to the Holy Ghost because you were trying to make a show. You wanted to impress everybody. And for that, the Lord killed them. Now, my point is, what were they filled with? They were filled with greed and a desire to be noticed, right? And they wound up then with Satan having filled their heart to lie to the Holy Ghost. Practically, it was something they already had dwelling in them. They wanted that money, and they wanted recognition. And so they wound up lying to filling their hearts to lie to the Holy Ghost. And so that's the track that I'm on here. Look in Hosea chapter 13. Notice down in verse 5, I didn't know thee in the wilderness. This is God speaking in the land of great drought. That's Israel. According to their pasture, so were they filled. In other words, whatever came to hand, if they had water, then they drank water. If they had the manna, then they ate the manna. According to their pasture, so were they filled. They were filled, and their heart was exalted. Therefore have they forgotten me. And that's the way it kind of goes, right? Boy, when things are going great, you can say, praise the Lord, you know, shoot him a salute in church, and then you're off enjoying your stuff, right? Okay, your heart is exalted because you were filled by the stuff that you want and desire. But then it's easy to forget him. And once you forget him, then you are not filled with the Holy Ghost. You're going to be filled with your own ways, if nothing else. But you might get full of the devil, too. Look in Habakkuk chapter 2. Habakkuk chapter 2. All right, verse 15. Now, there's some stuff in this passage about some things that happen when people go boozing, so I'm not going to read the whole thing, but verse 15, woe unto him that giveth his neighbor drink, that putteth thy bottle to him, and makest him drunken also, that thou mayest look on their nakedness. Thou art filled with shame for glory. See that? Thou art filled with shame for glory. Drunks get together the next day and glory in what they pulled last night. They glory at having graffitied buildings and tore down people's clotheslines, and maybe they stole a car, but they glory in it. The glory is their shame. It's shameful, but that's what they glory in. Okay? That's something that comes from within a man. They are what? They're filled with shame for glory. It's shameful what they did, but they glory in it. They're filled with that. Now, Is that person likely to be full of the devil or the Holy Spirit? See, on a practical basis, what they did is they desired to go get drunk, and they went and got drunk, and they pulled all the snotty stuff that people do when they get drunk, and then they go home and brag about it, and they think it's cool, and they can't wait to do it again next Friday. Now, who's more likely to be controlled by the devil? But the point is that it's set by what is already in a man's heart. It's set by the practical. If I make a decision to go booze it up, then I'm likely to make a mess. You know, it just blows my mind. These athletes come into town, Vikings it was a few years ago, and some other things, and, you know, professional athletes, and after the game they go down to some bar somewhere, and somebody pulls a gun, and somebody gets shot or gets hurt. And it hits the news and all that kind of stuff. Well, stupid, why don't you go home and go to bed? Because there's some things that happen at bars and, you know, boozing and nightclubbing and stuff like that, right? So, somebody pulled a gun and almost shot me. Well, good. I wish they had aimed higher and hit it. The point, folks, is that it starts, though, with the practical. I mean, we always kind of tend to think, well, you know, Holy Spirit will come upon me and overwhelm me, or the devil might come upon me and overwhelm me. Boy, I don't want that. No, it really probably starts with what you're doing. That's the point. Look, if you will, in Luke chapter 4. Luke 4. Luke chapter 4. Down in verse 26, Jesus Christ talking, but unto none of them was Elias sent, save unto Sarepta, a city of Sidon, unto a woman that was a widow. And many lepers were in Israel in the time of Eliseus, the prophet Elijah, and none of them was cleansed, saving Naaman the Syrian, two Gentiles. And all they in the synagogue, when they heard these things, they were filled with wrath. I mean, what he said about the Lord using those two Gentiles, it made them mad. Now, that's their issue. It made them mad. But who wound up in the end killing Jesus Christ? Who in the end wound up being influenced by Satan to kill Jesus Christ? Folks that got mad over something like that. Okay, who controlled that? Well, they did. They were controlled by their religious hypocrisy. They were controlled by their hatred for the truth. They were controlled by their resentment for this nobody Messiah showing up and rubbing shoulders with Pharisees and Sadducees and, you know, having dealings with publicans and sinners. And it made them mad. At the same token, just one chapter over, chapter 5, verse 26. 5:26. Now, Lord has healed somebody here, and says in verse 24, but that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power upon earth to forgive sins. He said unto the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, arise and take up thy couch and go into thine house. And immediately he rose up before them and took up that whereupon he lay and departed to his own house, glorifying God. And they were all amazed, and they glorified God and were filled with fear, saying, we have seen strange things today. Now, they were filled with fear. I mean, this thing's so impressive. They just go, wow. And they didn't want to mess with Jesus Christ. Well, who's more likely to wind up on the right side of this, these guys or the folks that were filled with wrath for him just saying the wrong thing? See what I'm saying? See, the practical part is what you allow to get the best of you. Your attitude is what's going to control where you wind up spiritually today, this week. And you could wind up with the Satan overcoming you and, teaching or inspiring you to lie in your heart. Or you could wind up filled with the Holy Ghost. Look at another passage along this line. Look in Luke 6. Luke 6. In Luke chapter 6, go down to verse 10. They're complaining because he's healing on the Sabbath days, doing stuff on Sabbath days they didn't want him to. Verse 10, and looking around about upon them all, he said unto the man, stretch forth thine hand. He had a withered hand. He did so, and his hand was restored whole as the other, and they were filled with madness. I mean, they were filled with it. I mean, it made them, they were so angry, it went beyond angry. They were kind of crazy with anger. Okay, well, somebody that's filled with that, I wonder whose side they're going to wind up on in the end. I wonder whose influence is going to sway them, the Holy Spirit or the devil. See, I'm saying that this pretty much, the kind of day you have, and I'm not talking about whether your hot water heater blows up or not, but basically the spiritual day that you have, the spiritual week that you have, will largely begin with you. It will begin with you on how much patience you exercise, what kind of character you exercise, whether you pray, whether you study, whether you read, whether you're paying attention when you read, and or not, or whether you decide this is a blow-off day and I'll go surf the internet all day and see what I can find. Well, something's going to find you. Look, if you will, in Acts 5. Okay, Acts chapter 5. And multitudes of men are following the Lord. Verse 16, there came also a multitude out of the cities round about unto Jerusalem, bringing sick folks, and them which were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed every one. Then the high priest rose up, and all they that were with him, which is the sect of the Sadducees, and they were filled with indignation. And so, who in the end was responsible for the murder of Christ? The Pharisees and Sadducees and scribes. Because they were already harboring these things in their hearts. It wasn't like the devil just overcame them because they were Pharisees, or overcame them because they were Sadducees, and forced them to kill Jesus Christ. No, they harbored all these things in their own hearts. And Satan was able to use what they harbored. And that's the point. Look in Acts 13. Acts 13. In verse 44, the disciples have been having some success with, you know, the Jews are against them, of course, but they're having some success with Gentiles. Verse 44, on the next Sabbath day, came almost the whole city together to hear the word of God. And when the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with envy and spake against these things which were spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming. Well, they were filled with envy. I mean, just seeing, you know, this country bumpkin, these country bumpkins, these unschooled people, come into town and draw these humongous crowds where people are getting saved and everything, and you know they can hardly draw flies, right? I mean, they're filled with envy. I mean, it is palpable, and I wonder who the devil can use in that. You think the Holy Spirit's going to use that, or is the devil going to use that? See, in the end, I'm just saying the backslider in heart's filled with his own ways. It all starts with what you're harboring. You start your day, and depending on how you start your day, is likely going to set a course for how you end your day and who you end your day with. In fellowship with the Spirit, or in fellowship with somebody else. That's all I'm saying. While we're nearby, Romans chapter 1. Romans 1. Each one of these cases, somebody's filled with something. We're going to get to some positive stuff in just a second. Romans chapter 1. Go down to verse 28. Now, you know this passage and all that, but it says in verse 28, "And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient." And notice, being filled. They're full of it. "Being filled with unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful." You're describing America there. That's the point, is that we live in the latter days, right? So again, 2 Timothy chapter 3, 2 Timothy 3. We live in the latter days. And men naturally come to the table each day, most of them full of something. And it's fair to say that the backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways. And so the average guy gets up and he's filled with his own dreams, his own ambitions, what he's going to try to accomplish today, and you know, the party tonight and all this kind of stuff. And that is not the place to start for a godly man. Chapter 3 of 2 Timothy, verse 1, "This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come." Now, the word "fill" is not used here. But going off of Romans 1, "For men shall be lovers of their own selves." They are full of themselves. And you know what you have to battle? You have to battle being full of yourself. Right? Because if you're full of yourself, all you're going to be interested in is you. And if all you're interested in is you, then the Lord's not going to be able to do much with you today. See what I'm saying? It begins with the practical. Now, let me take you to the other side of it, and I'll do the best to go through this as quickly as possible. Look back in Acts 13. Acts 13. Acts 13. Go down towards the end of the passage. Let me find a place to pick up. Notice the disciples have been out preaching, and in verse 48, "All as many as were ordained to eternal life believed, and the word of the Lord was published throughout all the region. But the Jews stirred up devout and honorable women and the chief men of the city, and raised persecution against Paul and Barnabas, and expelled them out of their coasts. But they shook off the dust of their feet against them, and came into Iconium. The disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Ghost." It doesn't say that they were filled with joy and the Holy Ghost. It says they were filled with joy, comma, and the Holy Ghost. As if maybe the filling of the Holy Ghost might have just followed the filling with joy. They were joyous for Paul and Barnabas having returned. They were joyous for having seen some people get saved. They were joyous to be persecuted a little bit for the gospel's sake. And because of the joy, then here comes the Holy Spirit. Right? A godly joy. See what I'm saying? There's a place where the practical rubs up against being full of the Spirit or being full of the devil. And it largely has to do with what you're harboring and nurturing in your heart. What you bring to the table each morning when you're supposed to be meeting God. Does that make sense? Look in Romans 15. Romans 15. Okay, Romans 15. Look at verse 13. "Now the God of hope," notice, "fill you with all joy and peace in believing." So if you come to the Lord in the morning and go to your Bible with a believing heart, the chances are you're going to leave with just a little smidgen of joy. Right? If you come there with disbelief and unbelief and, well, I'm not so sure about this, you know, then maybe you'll leave with a lot less. But I'm saying the practical plays into whether you're full of the Holy Ghost or whether you're full of the devil. It goes on to add after verse 13 that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. And I myself also am persuaded of you, my brethren, that ye also are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, able to admonish one another. Well, don't you think that it's good to be filled with knowledge? The knowledge of God? You think somebody that's filled has a good background of the knowledge of God in their hearts? You think they have a better chance of walking with God and being filled with the Spirit? Or you think it might be more likely the devil might come and fill them? Well, you know the answer, right? Look, if you will, in I need Romans chapter 15. No, I don't need that. Look in Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians 3. Be done in a minute. Now, be patient with me here. Verse 9, Paul is talking here. This is a great chapter. He says he wants to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery. Verse 9, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. Oh, he says, if you guys could just grasp the manifold wisdom of God. Then he goes on through some stuff. Let me read some. According to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him, wherefore I desire that ye faint not at my tribulation for you, which is your glory. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height. I want you to comprehend what is the breadth and length and depth and height of what? It goes back to verse 10, the manifold wisdom of God. See that? But here it comes. Verse 19, to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. The more you know of the Lord's wisdom and the Lord's book, the more of a chance you have to be filled with the fullness of God. Okay, it starts though with you. In the morning when you get up, what are you going to pursue? Right? You get up in the morning, am I going to pursue the wisdom of God, or am I going to go surfing? You see what I'm saying? And if you go surfing, who's likely to be more in control at the end of the day? Satan or the Lord? And that's the simple lesson. Look in Ephesians 5. This is our text. Ephesians 5. We read verse 18. Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, he says. Okay, but it's not just that verse. Because we can go back, say, to verse 14. Wherefore he saith, awake, thou that sleepest. Well, I don't want to wake up. Well, fine, sleep then. But when you're done sleeping, you know, when you finally get up and drag yourself out of bed and you've wasted all the day, who's more likely to be in charge? See what I'm saying? Okay, verse 14. Wherefore he saith, awake, thou that sleepest, arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. Well, I don't want any light. Okay, just lay there. Fine. But who's going to be in charge at the end of the day? Verse 15. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time. Well, I don't want to redeem the time. Okay, then don't. But don't expect to be full of the Holy Ghost at the end of the day. Right? Because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. I get tired of pursuing the will of God. It's so hard. Okay, well, don't then. It's not like it wasn't supposed to be a challenge at all. I mean, it's supposed to be really easy to do. Right? Okay, if you're not going to pursue, you're not going to wake up, you're not going to get up, you're not going to move, who's more likely to be in charge of your heart and mind at the end of the day? Well, it's not going to be the Holy Ghost. See what I'm saying? And so, verse 18, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. But I like contemporary music. Well, fine, go listen to it then. And at the end of it, who's going to be more in charge? The Holy Ghost, if you're doing that, or is it going to be the devil? Or just the flesh? If you're going to feed the flesh, you're feeding the wrong dog. Because the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. I'll be done with this passage in just a second. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Singing and making melody in your hearts to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things. Come on, Lord, everything. That's what it says. If you can be grateful for that which is unpleasant, you might have a better chance of having a relationship with the Holy Spirit at the end of the day than if you spend your time griping and complaining. Right? Because that's what got the children of Israel in trouble. Now, I'm not going on all night, but just allow me to take you to Philippians chapter 1. I'm down to the last three or four verses. Philippians chapter 1. And this whole thing is revolved around the backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways. You're bringing something neutral to the table each day. And you're probably not full of the Holy Ghost, and you're probably not full of the devil the first 15 minutes you're awake. But what you do after the first 15 minutes of waking up is probably going to determine what kind of relationship you have with the Holy Ghost or the devil the rest of the day. Does that make sense? In Philippians 1, verse 11. Let me start with verse 9. I'm sorry. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that you may approve things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense until the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and praise of God. Well, I'm sorry, you're going to have to get up in the morning and work at that. And if you're, you know, if you're gonna serve the devil more than serve the Lord, then at the end of the day, you're going to be closer to the devil than you are the Lord. Colossians chapter 1, real quick. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it. Now, Paul is, he is burdened for the people that he has led to Christ. I mean, he is all in for trying to get the Philippians, the Ephesians, the Colossians, and the Thessalonians fully aboard, going whole hog towards Jesus Christ. And so, for this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will, in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord and do all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Okay, well, that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. That's why you come to church. That's why you come get taught twice a week and come get preached at twice a week. You know, four times a week. Why? Because you want more and more. You want to be filled with the knowledge of His will. And that's a good thing. And that's why you get up and read your Bible, and that's why you get up and pray. And then when you falter and, you know, you have a bad week, you should be able to tell that at the end of that week, you're a lot closer to what you used to be than where you're supposed to be. Because just by nature, you know, you feeding this flesh one way or the other is the direction it leads. You feeding this man. Look, if you will, and I'll close with this. Look back to Psalms 107. Psalms 107. Just a bunch of verses on being filled. But the backslider in heart shall be filled with his own way. So you start the day, and if you go that route, disaster might eventually be the end. Psalms 107. 107 and verse 8. Oh, that man would praise the Lord for his goodness, for his wonderful works to the children of men. For he satisfieth the longing soul. He filleth the hungry soul with goodness. Nobody here can make you hungry. You're going to have to be hungry for God on your own. If you come hungry, he's going to feed you. Now, if you hunger for the world and you pursue those appetites, then somebody else is going to fill you. The world, and we know who the God of this world is. But, I mean, it says, for he satisfieth the longing soul. He filleth the hungry with goodness. And that's what you want. That's what you want for your kids. Amen. All right, let's bow our heads and pray. Father, we are grateful this night for